Psalm 119. Now Isaiah said in the 55th chapter that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, and that God has a way. In Psalm 119 in verse 9 it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Comes a time in our life when we see that we had gone the wrong way. And like wrong way regals in the Rose Bowl, we were running as fast as we could, doing all that we've been taught, putting our head down into the wind, carrying the football of life, but running the wrong way. People tried to tell us we were going the wrong way, but we didn't hear them. Maybe our mother or our father saw that we were going the wrong way, but it did no good. We all have to come to a place in our life where we see for ourselves that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the psalmist asks, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And of course, the answer goes, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." See, God has given us a book that could be entitled The Way. Years ago, when my wife worked for an import company in the Empire State Building, she would have to help write directions for a booklet on how to put together these various items that came unassembled from around the world. And she would have to explain to somebody how to put part A with part B, and then part C, and etc. Don't put part D first, it won't work. And so everything we have has instructions, directions. The automobile has a owner's manual, a user's manual. You need to know how to turn on the hazard lights or the fog lights. You need to know where the oil cap is or the gas tank. You need to know how to turn on the windshield wipers or where's the parking brake. If you don't know all of these things, you might hurt yourself or somebody else. And so there is a operator's manual, a owner's manual, a user's manual. The Bible is the user's manual. The Bible is the operator's manual, and the Bible is the owner's manual. Now, we're not the owner. He gives us life, and he gives us his word. He gives us a book that could be called The Way. And there are people who are trying to put their lives together, and they're putting D before A, and it's not working. And sooner or later, their life collapses. Their life falls apart, or they realize that it's just not working. They start to realize that they've been doing it the wrong way. And I'm so glad that God has given us his word. And the young man asks, "Where can a young man cleanse his way?" Verse 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." The rich young ruler should have read Psalm 119 and verse 14. He didn't realize that there was something more precious, more valuable, and more important than his money. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He was very rich. Verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And so when we come to our senses, when we come to our senses, suddenly our appreciation for God's way changes completely. And we, like wrong way regals, have been stopped by the grace of God before we went across a line of no return. And he showed us that we need to turn around. That's called repent. Verse 27 says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. So you look at verse 9, he's the way. You look at verse 30, he's the truth. And you look at verse 37, he's the life. To quicken is to make alive. He makes us alive. Where? In the way. And that was us. That was you. That was me. We found that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the way. And God has given us this good book, this God book, this guidebook, this hymn book, the book of books, the Bible. And we are in the way. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Boy, how many young people have grabbed the football and run the wrong way, that way? They wanted to see their name up in lights. They wanted to be on the stage. They wanted to follow Honest John, like Pinocchio. And Jiminy Cricket, his conscience says, well, what does an actor need with a conscience anyway? And we have a whole nation who looks at actors playing a part, pretending to be something they're not, as being heroes. And we wonder what's wrong with this way. We have a whole generation who are following that way, which Jesus called the broad way. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 says, hard is that way. The way of the transgressor is hard. And there are people everywhere who have learned that that is indeed the case. And so if you know some young person like Roy running the wrong way, all you can do is try to give them the word of God, which is God's way. Some years ago, a man named Frank Koch wrote in a magazine called The Proceedings, which was the magazine of the Naval Institute, about an experience that he had when he was in the Navy. When two battleships were on a training mission, and they had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days, he wrote, I was serving in the main lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge when night fell. The visibility was poor, with patchy fog So much so that the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called to the signalman. "Signal that ship," he said. "We are on a collision course. Advise you to change course 20 degrees. Came back the signal. "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "I am a captain. Change course 20 degrees. The signal came back. "I am a seaman second class. Change course 20 degrees. By this time, the captain was furious. "I am a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Came back the flashing light. "I am a lighthouse." And so we changed course, he said, 20 degrees. You and I hold a book that could say, "I am a lighthouse." Every time we read it, it's flashing out across the night sky and in the fog and in all weather. Salvation begins when a sinner realizes that this book is not going to change. It is a lighthouse. We have to change. And the Christian life is about change. And the first change involves faith and repentance. The problem is not with God, the problem is with our heart. And so we need to change course. In Job chapter 12 and verse 23 and Psalm 107 and verse 40, God describes the lost sinner as being in the wilderness where there is no way. And when we get to a place in our life where we realize there's no way, that's the exact same spot that God can begin a great work and say, "Way," as we see that He is the way. Suddenly we realize that we've been going the wrong way, trying to find a way. And some of us have given up like Bartimaeus, and we're found on the wayside begging. Broken down on the side of the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, the wayside. Sooner or later, every sinner, and we're all sinners, find ourselves broken down on the side of the road. Paul did. Life is rushing by, zooming by, and one day we felt that no one cared, no one noticed, and we were broken down like Bartimaeus, blind and a beggar. Now the wonderful thing, if you look at Mark chapter 10, is that yes, he was blind, and yes, he was broken down, and yes, he was on the side of the road, but Jesus came by. Verse 46, "And when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside," or the highway side, "begging. And when he heard," you see, faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. So even though he was blind, and even though he was a beggar, and even though he's on the side of the road, he heard something. He heard a commotion, if you will. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus was coming by, and he had enough sense left to recognize it. He heard a commotion, and he wanted to know what it meant. If you read the account in Luke, he wanted to know what the commotion meant. What was it all about? Like the Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot as he read the book of Isaiah, he wanted to know, what does it mean? And people told him it was Jesus coming by. Look at it. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. There's nothing like someone crying out for mercy to stop God in his tracks. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And when he came to a place in his life when he asked, not for what he deserved, but he asked for mercy, that the Bible says Jesus stood still. As long as a rich young ruler thought he was okay, there was no miracle for him. He went away sorrowing. And he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. Now this is not Brooks Brothers. I'm not sure what he was wearing, but it was an old beggar's filthy rag. And somewhat valuable to somebody who's sitting out there under the sun or in bad weather. He threw it away in order to get to Jesus. Now, I don't know if somehow he realized this was the first time Jesus, who he'd heard about, who had helped other blind men, was coming by. And it might be the last time, and by the way, it was the last time. He was on his way to go to the cross. And he seized the opportunity, and he said, have mercy on me. Now is the time. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says, and he will lift you up. And like the publican in the synagogue, he beat his breast, the publican, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Nothing like a broken heart and a contrite spirit to get God's attention. Jesus stopped in his tracks, and he was healed. Take a look at it. And Jesus said unto him, verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I know this is in the English. It says, well, just go ahead, your faith has made you whole. But I think it's interesting in the King James. It says, go thy way. He didn't want to go his way anymore. Go thy way. I don't want to go my way. I've gone my way all these years and it's not worked out well. Look at it. Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. He didn't go his way. He followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus. And that's what salvation is. We follow Jesus. Psalm 27 and verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Psalm 37, 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Psalm 39, 1, I will take heed to my way. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8, I follow the way into holiness. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he will provide a way of escape. I remember when Jesus passed by my life, having heard the gospel, and it suddenly became as clear as day, and I called out to him. I heard of Jesus. I carefully examined and considered his claims his character, and his conduct. I pondered the paradox of the cross and responded to the power of his call. I found his influence on world history and on my own heart to be indelible, his character impeccable, his courage invincible, his words imperishable, his love immeasurable, his kindness incredible. He said he was the way, and I believed him. For the sinner, he's the way out. For the seeker, he's the way in. For the fallen, he's the way up. For those going astray, he's the way back. For those who are lost, he's the way home. He is the highway, the freeway, the narrow way, and the only way. He also said that he is the truth, and you can believe the truth. As truth, his words were unvarnished as well as untarnished. Truth is untainted, untangled, and without shadow of turning. Truth is what is. And he is the I am. People try to kill the truth, but the truth will always rise again. He also said that he is life. To all who believe in him, he offers new, abundant, and eternal life. He is my Savior and my Lord. His word is the center, the source, and the force of my faith. By his enemies, he was vilified. By his birth and life qualified, by prophecy crucified, by resurrection justified, by ascension glorified. 2,000 years ago, he came, he became, he overcame, and he said he's coming again. Perhaps today, I, like Bartimaeus, once I was blind, but now I see all the love God has for me. Now I see how wrong I've been and all the ruin caused by sin. Now I see the pain I caused and how I'd broken heaven's laws and just how close to hell I'd come. Said, woe is me, for I'm undone. Now I see how Satan lies when Jesus healed my once blind eyes. Now I see truth, life, and way, for Jesus is the light of day. Now I see what a fool I've been. See Christ my Savior and follow him. Take a look at this rich young ruler who could have made the greatest investment that anyone had ever made. Jesus loved him. If he never made it to heaven, it would not be because Jesus didn't love him. Verse 21, Jesus beholding him, loved him. He was so close, and yet so far. He was standing and looking into the face of God. God was speaking to him and showing him the way. And somehow he loved this world and the things of the world so much that he turned and walked away from Jesus, being sad, for he had many possessions. But look at what Jesus told him again, one thing thou lackest. You don't realize that I am everything you need. As a matter of fact, if you have me, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. I am Christ Jesus. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills themselves. There in heaven, one day we'll walk on streets of gold. They use it to pave the streets. And yet here today we fight, we strive, we struggle to hold on to things that we cannot keep forever. Job said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I will go out." He realized that although it seemed that he had lost everything, he said, "One day I will awaken in his likeness." And besides all that, every single cup of cold water we give in his name is going to come back with compound interest. Look what he says. "Sell all whatsoever thou hast." Now, he's not telling everybody to do that. Because if everybody did that, no one would have to give to the missionary or give to the sick or give to the poor. He was speaking to an individual who thought he was right, but he wasn't right. And Jesus wanted to put his finger right on the problem, that he loved this world too much, more than his soul. For Jesus would say, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" "Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Wow. The truth of the matter is, one day when we get there and see, we'll kick ourselves and say, "You know what? I should have given more to the poor. Why didn't I do it? Why didn't I do it?" Because here God's promising treasure in heaven. I believe him. But wait a minute. There's something else here. Remember, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his way is higher than our ways. Whether you're talking about marriage, or you're talking about children, or whether you're talking about money. When you hear what God says, people will hear it. They have no way. God says way. God says way. No way. Verse 25, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." So some Bible scholars, this is talking about a hole in the wall in Jerusalem that a camel... No, it's not. It's talking about a needle and a camel going through the eye of a needle. So that you say, "No way." And Jesus says, "Way? What do you mean?" Verse 26 again. "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?" They understood what he said. "There's no way. Nobody's going to be saved." And Jesus, verse 27, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible." Like a camel going through the eye of a needle. "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And when we recognize who Jesus is and what he's offering us, and we see who he is and we believe him, he opens up for us all the universe, and it's all ours. Verse 21 again. "Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come." "Follow me." But there's something there. He says, between the "come" and the "follow me." Look at it. "Take up thy cross and follow me." There's no conversion without the cross. We want the crown, but not the cross. And if we follow Jesus in this world, if we follow Jesus down at the office, if we follow Jesus down at the factory, if we follow Jesus in the halls of Congress, if we follow Jesus in the public school, it involves a cross. But that's okay, because that cross also involves a resurrection. You can't kill the truth, and we're followers of the truth. And so what do? We follow him. I don't have time for another lesson, but what is this way of following Jesus in the way? That some, like the rich young ruler, turn around and say, "Oh, no way." And Jesus said, "Oh, way." If I follow him in the way, what's that mean? That means I'm going to have to forgive like he forgave on the cross. No way, way. It means I have to give like he gave on the cross. No, what way? It means I'm going to have to love even my enemies. No way. Way. It's called the way of the cross. And when the church rediscovers the power of the Christian life is the way of the cross, then there's hope. Even for a nation that seems to have forgotten what made the nation great. God's word and following God's word. And so really the problem is not with Congress. It's not with the Consumer Protection Agency. It's not with Homeland Security. It's not with the United States Marines. It's that somehow we've lost the message of the way of the cross. And when we rediscover that, we once again discover the power of God. For our normal reaction is to say, no way, I can't forgive that person. And Jesus would say, well, that's the way. Way. It's the way of the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way of the cross. Jesus went there to pay for all of our sins, and we have but to follow him and do what he says to do, not in our strength, but in his power and by his grace. Thank you for showing us in your word your wonderful way. Help us this week to take up that cross and follow you. Bless us now as we have fellowship around the table. Bless the hands that prepared the food and the meal that we are about to partake of. Then use us, yea, in this community, to tell people that there is a way. In Jesus' name we pray.